Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Welcome to the house of God. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor. Tell them you look like you've lost 10 pounds. You can say it to them this week. Tell them that, huh? For real. Everybody's looking good, feeling good. Come on, it's fast. The fast is on 2019. How many of y'all believe God's going to do something big in your life during this fast and through the... Anybody believing for something supernatural to break out in your life? Come on, if we're not going to eat and we're going to pray, we might as well believe for God to do something. Somebody say amen to that. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. I'll tell you, I get excited. I start to both dread. Anytime you're getting ready to go on a fast, there are two emotions. And I believe there are two emotions because there's two sides to our nature. Paul taught us one is the flesh and one is the spirit. Now, I don't know if anybody else feels like this, but when somewhere around October, I start realizing that January is coming again soon. And I think about it. I really start dreading it in October. And I feel guilty. This is kind of my cycle. And I'm going to break this cycle this year in Jesus' name. This is my cycle. I eat everything that's not nailed down for a while, right? Summer comes around, and I feel bad because I got to go to the pool and I'm wearing a swim shirt like an old man whenever I get there. And so then I stop eating and I get in relatively good shape, but then October comes around for me, all right, for me. Then October comes around and I start to fear the fast and I start eating everything that's not nailed down through Christmas, and then I get discipline back. Just turn to your neighbor and say, you can get discipline back right now. Let them know that, huh? You can get discipline back in the midst of a fast. And so I think my flesh starts to hate doing something like this, but my spirit man, how many of y'all have recognized there's two sides to all of us right now, Christians? My spirit man starts to get excited because I know whenever I obey God's word in a physical sense, you take your body, you bring it into submission to the word of God. Whenever I take my body and I bring it into submission to the word of God, I do something physically to honor God's word, honor God's presence, honor what God's told me to do, then God begins to move and he's going to do something spiritually to change my life. I'm telling you, physical obedience will bring a spiritual breakthrough in your life. Come on, let's say that out loud. Just say this. Say, my physical obedience is bringing a spiritual breakthrough in my life. Come on, let's say it again. My physical obedience is bringing a spiritual breakthrough in my life in Jesus' mighty name. I want you to open up your Bible. I'm gonna teach for about 10 or 15 minutes, probably 12 minutes, and then we're going to pray as a church. We're going to pray. We're going to worship. I'm believing God to do something big at the end of this service and for the rest of this month. But I want you to look at one scripture tonight, and that's Acts 10:38. This is a great one to memorize, by the way. It's out of the book of Acts. It's talking about Jesus, and it says these words, Acts 10:38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How many of y'all are thankful that Jesus is a Jesus that heals those who are oppressed of the devil? Man, he did that in my life, and I'm thankful for that in my life. And here's how he did it. The Bible talks about how Jesus came and changed the atmosphere wherever he went. Talks about the anointing. How God, it's interesting verse. God anoints God in this verse. God himself, God the Father, anoints God the Son with God the Spirit. It talks about that. God anointed God with God, all right? So what's the anointing talking about? You see the Trinity there, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, 3 in 1. But what's it talking about? We know that whenever Jesus went to his baptism, the Spirit of God descends on him like a dove. It's interesting, before the Spirit of God descends on Jesus like a dove, Jesus was already the Son of God, born the Son of God, born by the Spirit. Come on, everybody say, Jesus is the Son of God. Let's say it again. Jesus is the Son of God. But even though he was the Son of God, he never performed a miracle. He never cast out a devil. He never opened a blind eye. He never called a deaf ear to hear until the Spirit of God came upon him that day when he was anointed with the spirits when his ministry started. See, Jesus, to do miracles, he's showing us the pattern. To do ministry, he's showing us the pattern. To help a hurting world, he's showing us that. Jesus had to be anointed by the Spirit to enter into earthly ministry. How many of y'all believe if Jesus needed an anointing for the Spirit of God to do everything he was called to do on the earth, how many of y'all think we, the fallen people redeemed by the blood, now sons of God, but how many know cracked and broken in ways, how many of y'all believe we need an anointing from the Holy Spirit if our Messiah needed an anointing from the Holy Spirit? Somebody give God a hand clap. You think we need that, an anointing by the Holy Spirit. So here's what an anointing is. If you look at it in the Old Testament, whenever you were called to a certain kind of ministry, typically the prophet, priest, or king, you would be anointed in the Old Testament. It's all over the Old Testament. The story goes again and again and again. A prophet shows up, man of God, in the Old Testament, prophesies to a prophet, priest, or a king, tells them about their calling, and then he breaks open a horn or a flask of oil. It's called a horn. Think of a big bottle of oil. He breaks it open, the oil, and then he begins to pour it out. And he doesn't pour out just a little bit. He covers you from head to toe, man. There's an anointing service. In our anointing services, we put a little bit on your head, and then a lot of times there's paper towels around and stuff to wipe that off. How many of y'all have ever been in like an old school Pentecostal church where they fold the paper towels just right? If y'all, anybody been in one of those services? I got some of y'all from that background. There's three of you out there. All right. I've been in those services, but they even have a system where they fold the towels, right? So they don't want to mess you up. They don't want to mess your suit up, your top, all that stuff, because oil destroys what it touches as far as clothing goes like that. But that's not the way it was. He would show up, the prophet would show up, and he would cover you with oil from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, just pouring it out just as much as he could. It'd be all over your head, all over your beard. Your clothes would be just drenched with oil. And then anywhere you went after you were anointed with oil, if you sat down, the oil would be where you sat down. Whoever you touched, you got up close to, the oil would come off of you and get on somebody else. I'm telling you, whenever you're anointed with power and oil, the way God wants to anoint you with power and oil, everything you touch, everything you get close to, everything you come into contact with, it gets the same oil around it as you have on your life. If you want to be a person with oil on your life and you want to make a difference in the world, you need to receive a fresh anointing from heaven every chance you can. Believe that you have it already, but believe for more. Come on, how many of y'all want to make a difference in your workplace? You want to make a difference in your family? You want to make a difference in the schools you work at, go to, attend. Come on, we need the anointing of God. I want the anointing of God. The Bible says this, that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now he has this power. And everywhere he goes, man, things are happening supernaturally. Everywhere he goes where the devil had stolen and he was bringing death and he was destroying people, Jesus starts bringing back what they've lost. He starts releasing life where the devil had been killing. He comes and he won't let people be destroyed anymore. He starts delivering them from their destruction. Now, I believe that we can be the kind of church that does the same thing. I believe we can be a Jesus church. And everywhere we go, we can destroy the works of the devil. We can heal those who are oppressed of the devil. Whenever you walk into the room, I believe that you're somebody's miracle coming into that room right now. You're the answer to the lost person in every room you walk into. Come on, somebody say amen to that. You're the answer to the sick and the infirm. Whenever you show up, the anointing shows up. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power to go about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I want you to say this out loud. I believe God's anointed us. How many of y'all believe that we're anointed? Come on, somebody lift a hand to heaven if you believe that. I want you to say this out loud. You believe that? Lift your hand to heaven. Just say this. Say, Father, I thank you that you've anointed me with the Holy Spirit and with power to go about doing good and healing all those oppressed of the devil, for you're with me in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give him a hand clap. We believe that tonight. Amen? We believe that. With all of our heart. You know, oil, where it came from, it's olive oil. I drank some of it before I came out here and preached tonight. I drink it. I drink olive oil, I don't know how many times a week, but it keeps me from losing my voice when I preach a lot. It's got a lot of benefits. It brings health where it does. Spirit of God is something that brings health to your life. It makes you healthy so you can help other people get healthy. And the way the Jews got oil, how many of y'all have heard of almost any Christian's been around church for a while has heard of the Garden of Gethsemane. Y'all heard of the Garden of Gethsemane, the place of the press? Garden of Gethsemane. If you go to the Temple Mount in Israel, walk down the hill, there's the garden on the other side. Now there's a church there, famous church that's been built there, and the garden's still there beside it. It's ancient olive trees everywhere. It's an amazing place. They say, historians, scholars, I don't know if it's speculation, they say they know pretty well where Jesus was praying when he was there in the garden. And they believe they know where the disciples gathered and prayed and fell asleep. And Jesus came back and said, "Why are you sleeping? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" It's an amazing place. And if you walk around the Garden of Gethsemane, you'll notice something. Where the olives fall off of those trees, the olives get heavy. The trees are crazy looking. Some of them are 1,000, 2,000 years old, they say. And the olives fall off of those trees. They get heavy. They produce fruit. And when you walk through the sidewalk, that oil in those olives will even make the sidewalk slick. You got to be careful around there, because oil, it does that. And what they would do is they would take the olive off of the olive tree, and then they always had presses close to where the olives were grown. It's a very heavy fruit to move. You know, it would be a lot of energy. It'd be a hard thing to truck or to ship if you didn't have modern transportation. So they made the oil right where the olive would come out. Here's how they got the oil out of the olive. So they'd take the olive itself and they'd put it in a press. The press was like a giant stone with a groove around it. And they would take a mill wheel, is what it looked like. You might have seen those around. They've been around farms. You got an old farm somewhere, you might see something like this. Something like they would grind corn with back a century ago. They would take the same kind of apparatus, drop the olives in there, and they would press the flesh of that olive. When they pressed the flesh of that olive with the stone, the oil would come out. And then they would have to strain it and get some of the other stuff out of it. But the more it was strained, the more it was pressed, the greater the oil would come out of its life. Here's what I believe a fast and seeking God with prayer and setting aside times that are sanctified times does for all of our life. I believe that it presses the flesh so the oil can come out in our life. How many of y'all have noticed some flesh in yourself that needs to be pressed, huh? Needs to be crushed, right? Anybody else got some flesh out there to deal with? I know I do, right? Got some flesh to deal with. And I'll tell you, flesh is a nasty looking thing when it really comes out in full form. And what I like about a fast is it's a way to press my flesh. It's like my flesh isn't in charge. You're not in charge. My hunger's not in charge. My carnal appetite isn't in charge. I'm going to put you under the stone right now, and you're going to be crushed so the oil of the Holy Spirit can come out, have its will, and have its way in my life. Now, I'm telling you, fasting as we press our flesh these few days, and we're going to press our flesh till Sunday. Now, I want to thank every person that's prayed and fasted. I want to thank the people that have been getting up praying with us at 6:30. Come on, I mean, I believe you're setting the stage for success in 2019. Let's give everybody a hand clap that's been pressing the flesh in some shape, form, or fashion. Man, I thank you. It makes me proud to get to pastor people that'll do that. And here's the deal. We're gonna keep pressing our flesh. Now, I think as we press the flesh, some of you are going to walk out of addictive behavior you hadn't been able to walk out of before. So the flesh is getting crushed right now. It's getting pressed. I've used fasting in my Christian development years ago when I had so many hang-ups, and I use it every now and then still. How many know we still get hang-ups no matter how long we're Christians? We don't, you know, I'm being perfected, but I'm not perfect yet. And I've identified in recent years attitudes in my life I didn't need, things I didn't need, and I'd get the word on it and work on it. If it keeps coming up, I can't get over something, I'll fast just to say, hey, attitude, hey, flesh, you're not going to control me. You keep acting like this, I'll put you on a fast before you know what to do. You got to line yourself up. And you can use a fast to overcome some of those type of behaviors, or it's been addiction way long ago in my life, to attitudes in recent years. Come on, I'm telling you, you can get free. The power of fasting will help you break a chain, overcome demonic bondage. Jesus said this kind of influence, this kind of demonic influence only comes out with prayer and with fasting. So I want to declare that the oil's coming on us. Right now, the flesh is being pressed. Come on, and the oil is coming out in our life. I want to declare over you right now that you're coming out of any kind of bondage or any kind of behavior that doesn't bring God glory in your life. Come on, we're coming out of any kind of bondage or any kind of behavior that doesn't bring God glory in our lives. We're coming out of every kind of bondage and every kind of behavior that doesn't bring God glory in our lives. We're coming out of every kind of bondage and every kind of behavior that doesn't bring God glory in our life. Come on, we're coming out of every kind of bondage and every kind of behavior that doesn't bring God glory in his life. Come on, you ought to say it out loud. Say, I'm coming out of every kind of bondage and every kind of behavior that doesn't bring God glory in my life. We're going to press the flesh. Can't even talk. I'm fasting. We're going to win in Jesus' mighty name. You know that there's one more thought, and it's just like that, and I'll close with this. I know this. We're talking about pressing the flesh. Pressing the flesh, I believe, gives you a power to overcome. It's the same kind of bondage thing. But think about what Jesus was led to do right before the devil came and tempted him. And if you go to the temptation of Jesus in the Gospels, you're not talking about a casual temptation of an average person. You're talking about the devil bringing his best to try to disqualify the only person, the only entity, deity, to try to disqualify deity from being able to redeem the entire world from its sin. The devil tempts Jesus effectively. Think about this. All of us are going to hell. Humanity is lost once and forever. Everyone dies in their sins. There is no Savior. There is no healer. There is no Redeemer. There is only loss if Jesus fumbles in the garden. The Bible says the Spirit of God anoints him. Then he's led out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he goes on a fast 40 days. 40 days Jesus in the wilderness seeking God. After he had fasted, the Bible says he was hungry. And then the devil comes to him and tempts him. And I believe Jesus has been fasting, he's been praying, he's pressed, he was fully God, fully man, he was living in a body like we're living in, he had to deal with, but he overcame it. It didn't win, he won. When the tempter came, he was able to say, it is written, and to stand strong, and because of that, we're where we are. I'm telling you, we're going to have the same, we're going to have a power like that to overcome temptation. It's going to be next level. Somebody say amen to that tonight. Stand up on your feet with me. We're going to pray. Come on.